Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
And happy party Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden Show, Chuck and Julie Truth Straight Up. Chuck is doing some legal stuff again today, and we're going to bring in a second Karen Cavalin, who graciously agreed to co-host with me. But first, I want to let you know the show is brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine. Actually, Chuck went and had an appointment with Dr. Jack Schaefer yesterday and is ready for golf again tomorrow. HappyTrees.co. Chuck is busy with all of our sponsors. He and Chris, the owner there, they're going to the Glendale Ballet later this afternoon, which some of you may know as Shotgun Willie's. And then also Cenogenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. And Chuck has an appointment coming up with them, too. So thank you to all of our great sponsors. Charlene says, I don't know what we're talking about today, but I'm confused about O'Day. So I'll help you with that, Charlene. But let me bring in my friend, fellow talk show host, spouting off Karen Cataline. Hey, Karen, thank you for co-hosting today.
Hi, Julie. It's also great to be with you on Party Friday.
I'm just drinking caffeinated sparkling water.
I am. I won't tell you what's in it.
Okay. Oh, there we go. I used to have a friend who called it mommy coffee. And she would... although she had a little bit too much of it sometimes. Well, maybe there's so much to talk about. We've got Steve Bannon, Donald Trump, January 6th committee. Good news. Karen and I have different takes. I'm more optimistic. She's more pessimistic about the midterms. We've got Dave Whistle, the Park County GOP candidate for commissioner, who's being attacked, shocker, by the establishment Republicans. And then also, we were talking this morning, Karen and I, about the show, and we both got fired up about the COVID vaccine mandates. So we'll talk about that later. But first, Charlene is confused about Joe O'Day. And Karen, I know you're in Texas now, but Charlene, do you want to either ask, you can raise your hand and turn on your mic and ask a question, or a lot of confusing things about Joe O'Day, so that's not surprising. But anything in particular you're confused about?
Hello?
Yeah, Charlene. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, hi. Julie, can you hear me?
We can.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I'm just confused. You know, there's a big argument on whether he's the big rhino and that he's going to take Liz Cheney's place and just move the MAGA movement to the right further. So it'll be isolated and it'll be just one big uniparty because we'll no longer have MAGA anymore. And is it better to have him or a Democrat, you know? So anyway, but I'm just confused. Why would he at the last minute, you know, dump on Trump supporters? Does he feel like he has them in the bag and therefore he can dump on them? And did he do it in hopes of getting some unaffiliated, maybe Trump haters, you know, to vote for him? I just don't understand why, after what Daryl Glenn did, you know, turning on Trump, and then he lost by, you know, a small amount. And I just don't understand that logic. And I thought people could help me with it.
There we go. And I think, Charlene, it's a little bit of both. And Karen, jump in here anytime you want, because I know you've been watching this a little bit from afar. Charlene, I think we had Dave Williams on the show last week, and I think he hit it on the head. I think that was a Hail Mary. I think that Joe O'Day, because if you watch that portion of the interview, he wasn't responding to a question about Trump, right? He just kind of interjected it, and he did so calmly. He wasn't flustered. To me, that says that was a very definite consultant-driven strategy. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it did get him a lot of publicity. But I think Dave Williams said this, and I think Dave is right, that probably his numbers show him very far behind. So at this point, he doesn't have anything to lose by isolating the Trump supporters, and he's maybe hoping nobody noticed or they'll vote for him anyway, and that he might pick up a few unaffiliated. I think at this point, and I'm going to tell you, this is further supported, Charlene. I think it's like a Rorschach test who covered this. It was in the Denver Post a day later, right? Conservative sites like ours, MAGA sites, right? We're talking about it immediately, but Colorado Politics, Colorado Peak Politics, the Denver Gazette, and Complete Colorado, all of them establishment rhino, basically, websites, right? Mm-hmm. None of them to this day have touched it. And the reason they didn't touch it, I believe, is that they know it would be worse for him than it would be. It would be do more damage than it would do good. And I think so he had to have just figured at this point, he's got nothing to lose by giving it a shot and trying to see if he can reel in some independence. That's my take on it.
Okay. And I see what you're saying, but I mean, surely he realizes that he's going to alienate equally as many Trump supporters. So right. It just seems like it was just a foolish move.
I think too. Yeah. I mean, he should pay us to be his consultants, right? I mean, we would work for Chardonnay or something, you know? It's like,
And we would say, all right, thank you.
We would say, Joe, stop it. Well, Karen, let's just jump in then, because since we're kind of talking about the midterms, your thoughts.
Well, first, a general comment that I think does possibly have to do with Joe O'Day, although, as you said, I'm not real up on the specifics, is that if these times have taught us anything, it's that all the old classifications don't really apply anymore. The rule book has been thrown out, and now you have the people that revere the Constitution and the fundamental first principles on which this country was founded, and the people who are either fudging on that or are lying about it. I mean, who would have thunk that we would ever have had a Liz Cheney
right.
in the first place? So with that, and with the number of people who are actual plants by the left claiming to be Republicans and actually dividing the party, do you think for one minute that Mike Pence, who might actually run for president in 2024, is not being supported by every leftist they can in order to weaken the Republican support for Trump? I think it's a ridiculous, misguided move. People detest Mike Pence for everything he did and his behavior. But I think they'll prop up Pence, and they love to mix things up. So
I think you're right. And I think it's, as always, you want to follow the money. I mean, if you're a rich donor, and in Colorado, the richest donor is Phil Anschutz. Phil Anschutz, I think, would way rather have Joe O'Day run, who at least he can control. And if he loses, well, Phil Anschutz can work with Michael Bennett, then he would have a Ron Hanks in there that he hasn't bought and paid for. Right. And I think you see that exactly what you're saying, that there are people, Mike Pence, let's keep in mind, is bought and paid for. And the people who are buying Mike Pence are propping him up, hoping that maybe he'll get some traction, hoping that he can, you know, throw hand grenades into the works or something like that. And their thought is, because they're all part of the Uniparty, if Mike Pence loses, they're still cool with Mitch McConnell, right? So, you know, they don't have anything to lose. But let's talk. I wanted to briefly here's from Charlene real quick before we go. Maybe O'Day was signaling to big money anti-Trumpers that he would be the next, the next Cheney.
All those things are possibly correct.
Yes.
Did I hear your voice?
Yeah, but somebody else wanted to talk.
Yeah, it's me, Jacob. I don't know how to raise my hand on this thing.
Go ahead and talk. That's what we do. So.
Hi, Jake.
Okay.
I
know something that Karen Cattlin does not know.
No.
I just got back from Oakland County, Michigan, which is Southfield, Oak Park, Beverly Hills, and all the other big, big Jewish towns. And you know, Michigan lost a congressional seat this year. So the other congressional seats have to spread out. So guess which congressperson the Jewish community is going to get now?
I'm afraid to ask.
Tlaib. They have to vote for her.
No. Okay. JPEG, explain that to me because I'm not up on Michigan.
Tlaib is going to be their congresswoman.
You better believe it.
You know what?
Do we like her or do we not like her?
Tlaib?
I'm not up on Michigan politics.
She's a gang of five.
Oh. Okay.
She's Ilhan Omar. She's part of the squad. She's
part of the anti-Israel, Israel-hating, Jewish-hating. I'm so glad that you brought that up, Jacob, because if that's an accident, I'm tall and blonde. That ain't no accident. Believe me.
No, what happened was the, what is it, APAC? Is it the Israeli PAC? I think it's APAC, whatever. They poured tons of money into the other Democratic candidate, but the Democratic committee sabotaged the other person because they crashed her website and everything. And so nobody knew about her. And so Tlaib is running for Congress. I will tell you one thing. She ran into a little bit of trouble last week by proposing that transgender studies be given in the public schools. And most of the people in her district are Muslim. So they gave her a what for. And so she may not win.
Yeah. Talk about being hoisted by your own petard. I love it. And
although that gets to, and Jacob, thank you. Yeah, anything else you want to weigh in on there?
No, I just voted today. That's all.
Okay. Oh, good for you. Okay. Well, Chuck would say good for you.
I want to tell you something else. We have a little trick up our bag. That's what I want to tell you also.
Okay.
You know, I think it's RTD District number 3 or something. There's nobody running, so you have to write in the name.
Right.
Well, all of us are writing in somebody else's name. So if we want to go back and do an audit of all the ballots later on, we know which name that we voted for.
That's very tricky. That's smart. This is the kind of thinking we need from Republicans. Yeah. Jacob, thank you.
Yeah. All so, right. Jenna, watch out because we have our names on. Yeah. All right. Have a good weekend.
All right. Bye. Thank you.
Good Shabbos.
Well, and you're absolutely right, Karen. I mean, nothing happens by accident. But let me talk about what I see as kind of good news midterm-wise. Okay. When you look at a couple of things that are happening, I mean, real care, the polls, I think, is always, as you get closer to election day, tend to get, I think, less biased and perhaps reflect more what people are really thinking. I mean, because I think in the beginning, all the polling companies use it to push narratives. And as it gets closer, they want to retain their, you know, credibility. So they start doing them more honestly. So that's there. I also think a problem, though, is I don't think Trump supporters or MAGA voters are taking polls as much as, you know, other people are. So I think that's I think there's a lot there that polls have a lot to be grain of salt. But Real Clear Politics in the Senate right now, right, has now projected, I mean, it's very much swinging Republican, according to Real Clear Politics when they poll everything. They have it going 47 seats to Dems, 53 to the Republicans, so up by 3, not just a little bit, but up by 3. On another good front, which is important, we're seeing now with all this COVID stuff and what kind of powers governors have in governor races. Okay, they are now projecting that of the races that are up, 9 Democrats will end up being governors. Republicans will gain like 3 or 4, and they predict now that 31 governors will be Republican. And in the House, they are now predicting that they're going to flip the House significantly. Up some predictions right now, Dems have 221, Republicans 212 was the original kind of projection. Now that's kind of flipped. They think that Republicans will have 221 or more. So in generic polls, they have Republicans up 3.3%. Another thing, a New York Times poll is showing independent women shifting from pro-Democrat to now 32% pro-Republican. So a lot of shifting going on. And I think when you look at the numbers, right, I think it's looking, I mean, even Chuck the other day was saying he thinks there very well will be a red wave. And Chuck is never optimistic, but he's also generally right. But you see it a little differently.
Well, you know what? I will preface what I have to say by saying that some of this is me trying to prepare myself for really bad news.
Okay? What's that?
you know, this has become so personal because this is our country we're talking about. I had a dear friend ask me a couple months ago what I think about the midterms, and I haven't changed my opinion. I said it all comes down to one thing.
Okay.
That's it. I don't care what you do. At this point, from my vantage point, it comes down to one thing, and that is, how much cheating do they get away with? And how much do we counteract that cheating?
Yeah.
Anybody. Now, first off, I must also pre-preface this by saying it is not unconstitutional or a threat to democracy to doubt that the elections are fair and honest.
A denier, denier. Karen, it only is that case if you're a Democrat. If you're a Republican, you're a domestic terrorist. Okay. Yeah,
you're allowed to question anything, and you're allowed to think for yourself. And just as an aside, which I do, I saw something that said, think outside the box. And I thought, boy, is that outdated. We're not supposed to think outside the box.
Yeah. Think outside the box and you will be tased immediately.
We will frown on your thinking outside the box. No. Anyway, it all has to do with how much cheating they get away with and how many steps ahead of us are they. And all part of that, the turnout of Republicans, conservatives, not even Republicans, but liberty-loving people of all stripes, how big a turnout can they have to counteract whatever mischief is going on? And if that happens, I would like nothing more than to believe the stats that you just said. But we have a current regime that is governing against the will of the people.
Right.
They are clearly behaving as if they don't care what we think. They are employing force more and more and more on every policy they are forcing. They're not asking for our approval. So when it comes around to election day, you can't suddenly say, in my opinion anyway, Americans have shifted. You know what? If the elections were even remotely fair and honest, I have no doubt that we would have a red wave. That's right. My feeling, you know, and I stand to be wrong. And boy, I hope that I haven't prepared myself for nothing.
And everybody, let's go ahead. If you're on Zoom, go ahead and weigh in the chat room, or go ahead and turn your mic on and you can go ahead and talk. If you want to call in, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. Sadly, Karen, I have to say, I agree with a lot of what I like to be optimistic. And I think you're right on a number of fronts. I think number one, actually, I don't think things have shifted that much. I think that the election results from the 2020 election were not a reflection of what people actually thought. And I think that's only grown since then, given how horrible everything is anymore. I also think, but here's where there's optimism again, because you're right. The question is how much of the rigging are they going to be able to get away with again, right? Where I'm hopeful on that is that there are some states actually where lawsuits have changed and have eliminated, hopefully, their ability to rig. I think now places like True the Vote, the Public Interest Legal Foundation, there are organizations out there right now, independent of the local, party government or party people, right, who are, I think, keeping a close eye on stuff. And I think that they will be watching for stuff like that. I think it will be harder for them to, I don't want to say get away with it, because it has to be stopped. I mean, once it's done, right? It has to be, you can't like take pictures of somebody dumping 40 ballots in a ballot box and try to bring this up after the fact, because they'll just count them and then they won't recount them, right? I think that's a kind of thing you need to stop. So I'm hopeful, but I think you're right. I think that's the big if. And that's why I think your other point is great, in that everybody has to turn out and vote, because we need to overcome whatever, and mischief, I think, is a nice word for it. But now Jim says this: my big worry is the big GOP win projections will hurt participation. You know, Jim, here's what I don't know. I think it won't among people like us, right? Because I think people are angry and fired up at the constant attacks on, you know, regular American citizens by the Department of Justice. I think people are mad. Inflation, people are mad. And I think even people who are independent voters or unaffiliated voters get that if they don't change the makeup of Washington, D.C., what we're seeing is what we're going to get. And not just for the next 2 years, but forever. I mean, when you start looking at the economy and economic issues, I mean, I was looking and I was going to look at my 401k and then I thought, no, we'll need more of this if we do. But their average, they're down, what, some $34,000 or 25%. Okay. Mm. So for me, I don't have time to make that back up. Right. That's we can't wait four years to try to turn that around. So I'm hoping, Jim, that people don't fall for that.
I'm hoping they won't fall for a whole lot of stuff.
And yeah, good point.
One area in which I am slightly optimistic. Again, I want to believe the things you're saying, and I will be thrilled. I just want to prepare myself because I don't know the level of cheating. I'm not accusing. I'm saying I don't know, but I know it is infinitely greater. The area that I think is positive are the things the left does even now to maximize their vote, which tells me maybe they don't have as much confidence in their ability to rig the election. And I'm hoping that's true. They trotted out Obama out of nowhere. Suddenly he's on the campaign trail, saying things that sound suspiciously Republican. And you've got careening into the abyss, as my friend Vic Porcelli calls her. He does a feature every week, careening into the abyss. And they do all these, and she's saying how great it is that people are saving money on gas. Who in their right mind believes that this will continue after the midterms? Who believes that Obama will suddenly be sounding conservative and gas prices will remain lower?
Of course
not. Everything they do is for re-election. And if they're doing that in plain view, which they do everything, I think there has been an enormous shift in the country. I just want it to be reflected in the election.
Right. And this from Jacob, from what I've heard, with some of the private schools or some of the benefactors are not giving as much in the past because the stock market is not performing well. Yeah. I mean, you look at even Mark Zuckerberg at Facebook is losing billions of dollars. But here then, Karen, now we're bouncing off each other as we do. One of the things that really worries me is every time we think that they aren't going to get worse, they do. Right. And so, and let's talk real briefly about, so dude, Steve Bannon today, who was subpoenaed by the Kangaroo Court, the corrupt January 6th committee, which is a joke. And everybody knows it. I mean, the polls reflect that everybody knows that it's a joke, right? And it may be a joke, but he got sentenced to jail for the over the joke, right? And the only person, I mean, people like Eric Holder, Barr, Henry Kissinger, Lois Lerner, people all across the scale have refused to cooperate with congressional committees. This is the only time the Department of Justice criminally prosecuted. And so you're right. You would think, oh, they would never do that. But you would think they would never raid Mar-a-Lago. They issued a subpoena to Donald Trump today, the same January 6th committee, right? Mm-hmm. Saying that he has to hand over material before the midterm and that he has to testify on the 14th. Now, that'll be tied up in court battles. But do we think for a second that the same court that found Steve Bannon guilty, that sentenced him to jail, would not sentence Trump? I mean, I think anymore, you just don't know how bad and how desperate. I mean, these people, their back is up against the wall.
And look at the timing. Always look at the timing. These things are orchestrated to go along with the midterms. Okay. Isn't it interesting that he was, Donald Trump was subpoenaed and has to decide something, forgive me, on November 4th? When is the election again?
I think like that.
They are showmen, the left.
Oh, yeah, the same day.
For appearances and for the show. And this is to bring out their base. Stick it to Donald Trump. It is amazing how much they do in plain view.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, and then, I mean, and worsened, which makes me worried because they know nobody cares about it, right? The January 6th stuff. They know, what were, there was another poll that they were trying to, you know, they keep throwing out threat to democracy. And unfortunately, it's not working, right? In the poll, they showed that most people, sort of an even number of people thought, well, more people thought Democrats were a threat to democracy than they thought Republicans were a threat to democracy. But almost everybody agreed that the media was a threat to democracy. So
that's funny here because those pointing the fingers are the ones censoring everybody else's dissent.
Right.
If it's not a threat to democracy, nothing is.
And that's my other, I bounce back and forth on hope. That's the other thing of hope. There was a political article, I think, today. They are freaking out about people like us. They're freaking out about places like the bbsradio.com. They're freaking out about Parler and Rumble and Truth Social, right? They were saying they need to be stopped, these far left radical, that far right radical extremist thing. I mean, it's like, come on, you know, I mean, and I think they're freaking out about Elon Musk. They're freaking out about Kanye West because they have lost control of the narrative. But as we found, desperate people do desperate things, right? Now they're arresting people, you know, who for singing psalms at anti-abortion rallies, right?
Yeah, they're last I checked, let's see, they arrested like an 89-year-old woman who was protesting, suddenly protesting, which is enumerated as a guaranteed right.
Right.
Freedom of assembly is now a threat to democracy. The only comment I'd make about your wonderful rant there, Julie, and we call that a good thing. Rants are good things, is that, well, you know, you're just so darn nice. And you say, come on, you know, that Republicans are a threat and all this. I see it much more. I think you totally get it. Don't misunderstand. Right. I see it as so incredibly dark to isolate a population, a massive group of people that is, you know, coincidentally, they're political enemies, they're political opponents, isolate them and label them and other them for persecution, for harassment, for abuse of power by the government. I think it is perfectly reasonable to make comparisons to earlier, more horrendous times, like when they scapegoated Jews in the 30s. This is not inappropriate.
You're being a semi-fascist, whatever that is.
and it's deadly dangerous what we are watching. And one of my concerns is that still a lot of really good-natured conservatives, liberty lovers do not understand. I think they're getting there. I do. And that's just a generalization of how deadly, how fascistic, how jackbooted, and how this is right out of the totalitarian playbook and Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals. Isolate them, marginalize them, label them, and then get the ignorant, gullible public to either look the other way or cheer them on when they are persecuted and their rights are taken away. That's where we are in this country.
Oh, I know. And now I absolutely agree with you. And then you look at what you're doing. We've talked about this before too. And I see Dave is there. So Dave, we'll get to you in a second. But I think what scares me is this young people. Now, not like the college age people who actually believe that you shouldn't be able to say something if it's going to offend them. Right. And that you should be canceled, that you should. I mean, that kind of thinking in America is scary. Now, the only thing that gives me hope is my son's generation, the sixth graders. You know, they think all of that is nonsense and just stupid. You know, like in Rev school, they sent home an email and thank God for his school where at least we could choose whether we wanted them to talk about it with him about pronouns. Right. There was like, what pronouns does he want to use? Or would you prefer that we don't talk to him about that? So I asked Rev, you know, he's 11. He goes, oh, God, it's stupid. But he said they're like three girls who talk about it and no one else does. So that
leaders in public school who are 2 years away from having sex change operations. So
oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, it's
there is some hope there, but terrifying. Let me, we're going to switch gears, guys, everybody. We have with us, and Karen, stay on too. So, hey, Thomas, you can put us in a three box. We've got Dave Whistle, the Republican candidate for a county commissioner seat in Park County, talking about all of the stuff that we've been. I mean, he's like a living example of what's going on. We've had Dave on the show before where he's explained that he is being opposed. You'd think the Democrats, that would be easy, but no, he's being opposed and campaigned against by other Republicans, but not just any other Republicans. He's being, people are, the Colorado Republican Party treasurer is campaigning against him, as is the treasurer's wife, who is the Park County. So these are Republican officials campaigning against a Republican. And Dave, take it away from there and explain what's the latest in your ongoing saga here.
Well, thanks, Julie. And I was really appreciating listening to Karen, I think, is your cohort today.
Right.
So let me bring you up to speed a little bit. First of all, thanks for letting me have this platform to explain really weird things. I do live in South Park, the reality, but this is beyond anything that I would have imagined in my very vivid mind. Long story short, I got into this race kind of late for this. I got in on Valentine's Day. I filed my paperwork with the state. So the background for me is I spent 40 years in the courthouse in the assessor's office. I spent 38 years as the elected assessor. I was defeated by the Republican Party in 2018 by 21 votes. So I basically appreciate that. I had a wonderful 40 years. I did my best job. I learned a lot. And I think I made a difference here in Park County, accepted it and moved on. Went into the private sector and reinvented myself as an appraiser. So I do now large assemblages of ranches and water rights and those things in my background. So I'm sitting on the sidelines and I'm watching our county literally, I think, headed for a financial cliff.
Okay.
So I only got back in the game and came off the bench just because no one else did. So what we have in here is we have a completely red county by registration of our elected officials. We have a much greater block of unaffiliated. It's at about 6,800 people. We have about 4,400 Republicans and about 2,500 Democrats.
Okay.
So about 12,000 total active registered voters. So I've been challenged before. I went through 9 elections. I didn't make it on number 10. I accepted it and move on. So I get back in the game this time. And so Dick Elsner is the person we're talking about. He's our county commission chairman, and he's been the chairman for the last 4 years or 5 years, 4 years for sure. I took out the gentleman in the primary that was his automatic rubber stamp.
Okay.
So we came through the process, and for every step of this way, I've had to engage my attorney. I've had to fight to get on the ballot through the caucus, the Simply process. I chose to do both because in this crazy world, you never know.
Right.
And I wanted to take no chances. And so for the last several cycles, I've always done party petition as well as the caucus assembly.
Okay.
Made it through the assembly, got enough votes, got on the ballot, and then the anonymous hit pieces started coming. This is a practice that our Elsner family has done for the last 16 years. They've been getting away with it.
Right.
I didn't challenge.
And again,
I didn't challenge.
Well, but to emphasize to folks, I mean, if these were Democrats doing that, you would expect that, right? It wouldn't be right, but you would expect that. But these are fellow Republicans. And again, not just any fellow Republicans, but people who hold positions in the Colorado Republican Party or the county Republican Party. So, I mean, to me, that's shut up if you don't want to vote for you, right? It's like.
We have in, locally what we call the Hickok rule.
Uh-huh.
And that's named after one of our long passed away founders that really turned us from a blue county into a red county back in the late 70s and early 80s where we've remained. He said, if you can't vote for the person, just shut up.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the rule you look at. But here's the dichotomy of this. My wife and I have 30 years of our 40 years in public office in the Republican Party. Republican Party came after her. She was a commissioner twice through death appointments, and they denied her the ability to get elected. In lieu of, they wanted an Alma liberal that they could control. Yeah. So they had that for 10 years, even with term limits. So I got out, I got in the private sector. I love what I do. I have a 38-year career as a volunteer in water in the Upper South Platte Basin in a water conservancy district and a water authority. So I know budgets, I know water, I know government, and I know the private sector. So I decided to get back in and make a difference. So every step of the way, the Republican Party has been my impediment rather than my partner.
Yeah.
In August, we had confronted the chair and her husband about the open support for my liberal Democrat opponent. My opponent is a 34-year-old fifth grade school teacher in Summit County Schools with a master's degree in gender and women's studies.
There you go. There you go.
That is more desirable than a guy who spent his entire 44 years here working for the folks and the betterment of this community.
Well, and let me ask you this, because we don't have a ton of time here, but have you, so I know you would think that somewhere in some bylaws, it would say that if you're the head of the county Republican Party, you can't campaign for the Democrat, but there isn't. Have you gotten any help from Christy Burton Brown? I mean, this guy is the treasurer of the Colorado Republican Party. I mean, have you get us updated on your efforts to try to make them at least, as you said, shut up?
Yeah, we have a group of patriots. We had 13 people come through the bylaws of our local central committee and confront them. And that brought a meeting in September. In that meeting, the party voted 21-11 to allow the Elsners to continue their open support and basically support the Democrat. They then canceled all their meetings for the rest of the year until after the election. So they basically have imploded, for lack of a better word, and they ceased to exist. So now they've had several executive board members resign. My replacement as assessor has resigned as the first vice chair of our party and started a new concerned citizens for Park County committee for the express support of my Democrat opponent. Mr. Elsner just put out a signed letter under their letterhead and their committee masthead and committee campaign funding, signing his name to the fact that I am a terrible individual and I know nothing. And the better alternative is this little 34-year-old school teacher and her liberal ideas. And all they want is more taxes, more spending, and more government programs because they don't know how to budget within the existing revenue.
Well, and here's my thing. I mean, they'll holler at us for saying, hey, what's going on with Joe O'Day, right? We're supposed to unify behind their rhino candidates. My thing is, if you're Dick Elsner and you really think that, I've got some questions about what his real motives are, that's fine. You can do that. But then you should resign as treasurer of the Colorado Republican Party. And it's if his wife wants to campaign for the Democrat, this is America, she can do that. But if she does, she should resign as the chairperson of the county party, don't you think?
Yeah, and it's not only them, it's the majority of them, and that's every elected official in this county except one.
Wow.
They're all Republicans by registration.
Yeah.
Our county clerk resigned over this. She was due to retire at the end of the year. And after a visit by Deb and Dick Elsner, and she gave her 2 weeks' notice and resigned on September 15th.
That's her last day. Karen, you have a question?
Well, I just wonder, we need a good investigative reporter to look into these people, because this is not, again, I'm sorry to be a broken record, it's not a accidental,
right?
That these people are suddenly supporting a Democrat who stands for exactly the opposite of what the Republican center-right Republicans stand for. So I think we need an investigative reporter. That's one. And two, can you say what is the overt complaint they have about you? We know what they think they probably are complaining about you, but what are they saying publicly as to why you're somehow not a good enough candidate to run as a Republican and win?
Well, the opening line from Commissioner Elsner is that I'm an angry old man. I'm 66 years old. Okay, I'm 66 years old. I've never felt better. I've never been in better health. I've never had better acumen than I have today. But, you know, you have to understand Commissioner Elsner. He really is misunderstood.
Yeah.
He truly is a tempestuous 5-year-old trapped in a 72-year-old body.
Well, and here's the thing, because we only have, you know, just a couple of minutes. I think, you know, Dick, or Dave rather, I'm sorry, Dick is the problem. And again, the bottom line is let the voters vote. right? If they got a problem, you know, let the voters vote. And again, and if you're going to be handing out dirty political letters and things like that about the Republican candidate, okay, well, not okay, really, but then resign as treasurer of the state party. And I think somebody like Christy Burton Brown should tell him to knock it off or resign, one or the other. You can't be the treasurer of the Colorado Republican Party slamming and actively campaigning for a Democrat. That's good to news. Me. That's-
good news, ladies, is that our people have organized and are blanketing the state central committee with emails of
good
of
great
outrage. And we have an active campaign. We're trying to spread the word about this because we know it's not just here. I talked to
people sure.
in other counties that are experiencing the exact same thing. So, folks, we need every vote to go for true good Republicans. Just because they're a Republican doesn't mean they're qualified for the job. So do your research, do your homework, look at those people. Whistleforparco.com is how you can help us. The good thing about all of this negativity, the local media will not allow any of our positive letters in. It's all negative, negative, negative all the time. So our only avenue is our website, whistleforparco.com, and we have our media section out there. We have the links to these items from you. Thank you, Julie. Mm-hmm. And other letters to the editor and proof. If I was this bad, I have yet to be charged, adjudicated, or sentenced to any crime.
That's right. All right, okay. Listen, Dave, we got to let you go. Thank you so much. Keep up the good fight. Thank you. We appreciate Thank that. You. Yeah, and you got to wonder, I mean, that's a complicated situation there. Personally, I kind of wonder what maybe somebody doesn't want people looking at the county government finances.
It's all about the budget. It's all about following money.
All right, there you go. But in the meantime, it kind of goes back to what we, like you say, Karen, it's all tied together. It's like, okay, you get to vote for who you want to vote for, but then don't pretend, you can't be a party official and say, you know, and say that kind of stuff. I mean, I know that sounds silly because Mitch McConnell and Liz Cheney do it, but.
Of course, I'm old enough to remember, and I conveniently forgot his name. Remember when Tom Tancredo ran for governor on the Constitution Party? What was the guy who, what was his name?
Dan Mays.
That's right. Yes. In the Dan Mays period, they were lecturing us and infuriated by us that we would ever vote for someone from a constitutional party. They were going after every precinct leader saying, you'd better support Dan Mays because he is the R after her name.
Right.
After her name. They're acting like Democrats. So all I wonder is, are they Democrats? Because they certainly are acting like
that. Well, and we know the Democrats openly say that's part of their strategy. Let me, for the last few minutes here, because we can get things rolling here, I want to talk about a quiet, gentle subject. The CDC saying that we have to now require children, they're setting it up for this, require children to be vaccinated for COVID in order to go to school. Your thoughts?
You know,
keep your head on.
Not much makes me speechless. But I'm not going to be speechless.
No.
Yes, they're just recommending, and they know that most states and most schools use this for their mandate. So that's number one. Number two, I'm going to just cut to the chase because I know we only have a few minutes. I just want to say, in light of every story that has started to make it to the mainstream news, Pfizer admitted in court that they didn't even test for efficacy of these jabs. The Surgeon General in Florida was shut down and censored by Twitter. And then they realized, you know what, maybe we have to let him. He was sounding the alarm
on
injuries, dangers from these shots. And it's not as if the general public, it hasn't gotten out to them. So the disconnect of this cabal of radical leftists that are pushing the narrative that, in fact, did you see that wonderful video of Carrie Lake?
Yes.
Answering quite clearly, we're not going to allow our precious children to be made into guinea pigs. Did you see the hatred and the vitriol tweets that were sent her way?
Exactly.
Yes, Carrie Lake wants her Republicans to die.
I'll give, first of all, a shout out to Heidi Gnall, our Republican gubernatorial candidate. She was on this right away saying, you know, elect me governor and I'll make sure that it is not required in Colorado schools. But you're right. I mean, let's go look at what the White House pressured Twitter to censor and to ban Alex Berenson for talking about the truth. We now know. And the good thing is it's good and bad, actually, as is everything. So when you look at the numbers, the vast majority, and I mean like 90%+ of parents have not vaccinated their kids under 5, right?
That's a better poll than any poll you can read.
That's right. That's right. Oh, we got Sherry from Lakewood. So we got 5 minutes. So
Sherry from Lakewood.
I know. Hey, Sherry, I'll interrupt my thought to get your thought. Welcome and thanks for calling.
Hi, I'll try to be concise, but something that Karen said before, and I think it pertains, like to transform your society, you have to capture the children. Yes. I think Hitler once said, he who owns the youth owns the future. So this is more than even just the shots, because the progression from transgenderism to transhumanism, so a post AI cyborg world, you're not going to need a post-gender world. You don't need people with any gender. So the whole idea is to defile the human genome through transgenderism, through transhumanism, through these shots. So we're created in God's image, and the core agenda is just to strip us of our humanity. There's a group of people, most defining objective, it's to eliminate and eradicate God. And everything is defined by their one fundamental overall consuming purpose, which is to defeat God. And I mean, having you kill your kids, having them get these shots and get myocarditis. I mean, they have the God gene now. They have this magento gene. We don't know what's in these shots that they're putting in kids. So that's all I wanted to say.
Well, okay, Sherry, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. I know that we have to go.
So, no, we've got about 3 minutes.
I'm just going to make my little final plea that, or whatever. I may be somewhat realistically skeptical about what is going on now, but I do believe in my own way, I believe that they will not win ultimately, these people. I do believe that the things that they go after, that they believe are threats, which are everything wholesome, everything good, personal responsibility, and why they hate people of faith so much is because we're the biggest threat they've got. And so I just remind myself, and that doesn't mean I agree with every tenet, but I remind myself, hold fast to the things that they believe are the biggest threat, because that's what we're a biggest threat for a reason, because they can't do what they want to do if we hold fast to those things and we draw a line in the sand and we say, no, we're not doing it. We're not doing it.
No, and I think you're right. And I think the COVID thing and the kids thing, we saw that with education. I think the trouble they have right now is the generation that one of the generations that they're indoctrinating the most still are not, they don't have kids yet, right? And I think the numbers speak for themselves. Parents are not getting their kids vaccinated. And if they try to force them to get vaccinated to go to schools, I think all that's going to do is essentially be the death knell for the public school system, right? And it will proliferate, is that the right
and
word?
It should
private
be.
Schools, huh?
And it should be.
And it should be.
Irredeemable and deplorable.
Well, and you know, and the bottom line is, I suspect they're doing it on one hand for reasons of control, and on the other hand for reasons a big pharma just doesn't want to be able, now that it's on their recommended schedule, right? You can't sue them for any adverse effects. And look at the adverse effects. Alex Berenson had something, now it's being linked to type 1 diabetes, right? I mean, it's like
and the other thing I would just say is that we must at some point, when are we going to look at the implications for ignoring facts? My analogy always is to Tylenol. What if the media didn't you know, we're criminally liable for not telling people to take Tylenol off their shelves. And further, the government said, go and take that tainted Tylenol right now. Yes. So you have to ask yourself, what's the motive, and how does it indict these people as having no respect for human life?
Well, they have respect for human life, just their human life, right? It goes back to
what they do, Julie. I think they cheapened life. They sent COVID into nursing homes. Look at Scott Shara's story. If you've never had Scott Shara on, they killed his Down syndrome daughter and called her DNR when she wasn't. They pleaded with the doctor. And if you go into those notes, it says 37 times she was Christian, and they refused remdesivir, and they gave drugs to this young woman. We're talking about something that is so sinister, and people are figuring it out.
Oh, they are. And that's where there's hope. And I wonder if, I know my daughter and her, I call them new age friends, and it's more significant than that. But they say, and astrologically, there is a whole cosmic shift going on right now here, and has been for a few years, in the next few years. And this is what I hope it is. And it's the red pill. I hope that people who have been, you know, kind of going along and not paying much attention, and not being like, you know, politics, I don't trust politicians, I don't watch the news anymore, it's all depressing. I hope that one of the shifts is that people are waking up and taking and realizing that we are all in this together, and that I have to stand up for you. You have to stand up for me. And when you sit down and are silent, I mean, like they say, bad things happen when good people are silent. And I think that to me, that is the shift I see. You see more and more people, I think, speaking out, saying things. And the more they try to silence us, the more people refuse to back down. And so that I hope, and I hope my daughter and her friends are right, that there is that cosmic, the age of Aquarius, whatever age we're going into. But
I will be very encouraged when more non-Republicans stand up against the censorship of Republicans and or conservatives, because then they'll understand that they're next.
Exactly. And now we have an out of time. Hey, great show. Thank you to all the guests. Thanks to Dave Whistle. Karen, real quick, plug your show and where people can find you.
Well, I'm doing Spouting Off Tuesdays and Thursdays out of Nashua, New Hampshire, WSMN. And then I do another Friday show at BBS Radio. But you can find all of that at KarenCataline.com.
All right. And also a reminder, you can check out everything at ChuckandJulie.com to get all of our shows too. Thank you once again, Karen. It's been a pleasure. Thank you, everybody on Zoom. Thank you to the great guys, Don Sun, Thomas, there at BBS Radio. And let me just say, in this age of censorship, thank you and thank God for BBSRadio.com.
Absolutely.
Because they will never silence voices. So everyone have a great Party Friday. We'll see you on Monday. Karen, thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.